The scripture reading for today is Mark chapter 10, verses 35 through 45. Listen to the word of God. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came forward to him and said to him, "Teacher, we want to do whatever we ask of you." And he said to them, "What is it that you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left, in glory." But Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" They replied, "We are able." Then Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink, and the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or my left hand is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared." When the 10 heard this, they began to be angry with James and John. So Jesus called to them and said to them, "You know that among the Gentiles, those who recognize it as rulers lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. But it is not so among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wishes to be the first among you must be the slave of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I heard a story that reminds me of James and John's conversation with Jesus. There was a young man from a wealthy family, and as he approached graduation from high school, his father asked him what he would like as a gift. That was probably his first mistake. The teenager said he wanted a new car. "It's an awful big gift, son. You know, there are more important things in life than cars." "No, Dad, that's all I want, a new car." Graduation came, and his son opened the present with much anticipation, and inside the box wasn't keys to a car, though instead just a leather Bible. The teenager was infuriated. "I only asked for one thing, Dad, and I know you can afford it. What's the use of this Bible?" The teenager stormed out of the house, never to speak to his father again. And many years later, after his father had died, the son finally had taken out the Bible that had been given at graduation. It was the first time he'd ever turned the pages. On the inside cover, his father had written a note. "I hope reading this will help you grow in wisdom and maturity." Stuck between the pages was a check written for the amount of the car. In our scripture reading today, James and John asked Jesus, "Teacher, we want you to do whatever we ask." Well, Jesus says, "What do you want me to do?" "Let us sit, one at your right and one at your left in glory." Then Jesus challenges them to see if they're ready to drink the cup and to be baptized in the same way Jesus was. He simply tries to tell them he can't do what they're asking. Stepping out in faith, sacrificing, leaving everything, isn't something very easy to do. Jesus reminds them what God wants in our lives is that we have to give up control. We have to step out in faith. If we want to become great, we must be a servant. If we want to be first, we must be a slave to all. Now, in our world, it's very counterintuitive, giving up power to others in a culture that seeks power. Yet this is exactly how Jesus lives. Even though Jesus had all the power and strength of God, he gave it all up. The world's power kills him. And yet he was transformed and he transformed the world by living into God's will for him. Now, the reality is we're well practiced at asking for what we want. We do it all the time, and we even do it to God. Sometimes we treat God like a genie in a bottle. If God could only grant our wishes. It's just like a teenager wanting a brand new car, or like James and John. Now, some of the requests are for those who are sick or hurt. It's certainly not surprising that we look to God for help in those matters. The reality is we live in this world and it feels out of control. But today's lesson is about surrendering control. We're called to be solely dependent upon God. So if we keep praying like we normally do, then we're doing it all wrong. I saw Tony Campolo last week in Bloomington. He's a sociologist, an excellent writer, a great speaker, and he told a group full of pastors that we're terrible at praying. He made this case that prayer is about completely surrendering, and he urged the pastors in the room to follow Mother Teresa's example. In an interview, she was asked what she said during her prayers. And Mother Teresa responded, "I listen." Now, when was the last time any of us listened to God? Sometimes we sing about it in hymns. "Silently now I wait for thee, ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my ears, illumine me, Spirit divine." We sing it, yet when was the last time any of us waited 20 to 30 minutes to hear God's voice? 20 to 30 minutes in silent prayer and reflection, not speaking first. In the world we live, if you're anything like me, silence probably makes you uncomfortable. As we're reading through the Gospel of Mark, we're reminded in the first chapter the sole reason Jesus came. Jesus' mission in that first chapter is to declare the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God isn't a far-off time and place. It's not a place for when we die. Jesus came into this world to equip us, to be instruments in the world, to flip it upside down, to be servants to all, to create a new social order here and now. God describes his kingdom in Scripture. God's kingdom is that everyone has housing, that everyone has good health, that all have jobs, that wars end. It sounds like something that cannot be achieved in our world. Jesus reminds James and John how to do it. To completely surrender to God, to listen, to wait upon the Lord, and to be servants to all. If we let God invade us, then God's kingdom on earth is possible. Tony Campolo says, in 1976... 45,000 children died a day to malnutrition and disease. I had to look it up. It's true. The Church of Jesus Christ these days gets a bad rap. But it's God through the church, who's called missionaries, whose church has built hospitals and schools. The church gives food to the hungry. They build wells so people have clean drinking water. Even 25 years ago, this guy wanted to sell homes to poor people, not charge interest. Tony Campolo said it was crazy and asked Millard Fuller how he would pull it off. And he says, "I'm going to get the church people to build them." The 1 millionth house was built for poor people. It didn't make many headlines. Now, the truth is, no administration, no president could ever accomplish this. 1 million homes for people, for poor people in 25 years. Today, the number of children dying a day is down from 45,000 to 19,000. Little by little, it's the power of the Church of Jesus Christ, the kingdom of God, who disrupts social order. I want you to look around you. There are lawyers, there are bankers, teachers, doctors, clerks, stay-at-home moms, grandparents, children, and more. Each of you are not called to be withdrawn from the world, but to be in the world. And if we wait upon the Lord, if we surrender and allow God to invade us, through all that we do, we have the ability to disrupt and change the social order of this world. Jesus Christ tells us the kingdom of God is at hand here on earth. So this week, I challenge you more than anything to wait upon the Lord. Live into being a servant of Jesus Christ, a slave to all, so that God's kingdom will come. God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We must recognize that God is in control of everything, and we must surrender control by saying, "Not my will be done, but God's." During communion today, there won't be music playing in the background. It's on purpose, because I want you to start waiting upon the Lord. Now, I don't expect silence. There's too many people. I expect you'll hear the chorus of children cough, shuffling. But your task is to wait upon the Lord, to listen to God speaking to you, to your heart, to fully surrender. To help you, I've included a prayer of St. Francis of Assisi. It's in your bulletin. Listen. Listen to what God is telling you. Surrender and allow God to invade you through this prayer. And then take this prayer with you this week. Tear it out or snap a picture of it with your cell phone. And this week, find 20 to 30 minutes to wait upon the Lord, to listen. Then take 20 to 30 minutes once a week for a month. Surrender, and God will invade you. And in so doing, may God's kingdom come here on earth as it is in heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.